Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. They're filming a movie at the end of my street.
You mean to tell me we're not the most professional recording that's happening on your street right now?
I mean, we probably still are. I have good equipment, but... But yeah, I don't want to say what it is because I don't want to dox myself, but it's like a really big deal, hot shit movie.
Amazing.
And I can't tell if the entire crew and catering team and everything keep getting lost or whether they were told to divert through my street, but it's just like it's chaos right now. But here's what I want to say. Okay, this might give it away, but it's like a spooky supernatural film and they're filming it in this graveyard. And the graveyard is overlooked by this large tall tower of nursing home blocks. So that's really grim in the first place.
I just got such a chill down my spine. That's just full of ghosts.
Yeah, but also like, so first of all, that's a horrible thing for them to look out and have to see every day. And then tonight they're going to look out and just see like witches and ghosts. Like what the
Amazing.
Fuck do you think they're going to think?
I envy them, honestly. Why are we here? What is happening? Except for spooky, scary stuff, even though it's November technically.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that we can all agree that ghosts have to do with haunting and curses. And I think the ice at Skate Canada, at least during the men's event, was a little bit weird. The women, on the other hand, had a fantastic time. Yes, we are talking about Skate Canada International 2021. And yeah, it sure did happen.
It happened. My memory of it is extremely hazy for a variety of reasons, but mostly it was insane. I keep saying this, but like, figure skating events feel like they're back to the level of chaos that we had pre-pandemic in a way that's thrilling to me. I've missed like ending like a short program and being like, well, we have to survive more of this tomorrow and it will happen. It will be exciting.
It's literally the same, everything, the same thing happens to me every single year where the like 3-4 days where the programs are happening. I just like, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this another year. It's too much. And we only follow like half the events, right? And and then Monday hits and I'm like, but I'm so bored now.
Yeah, I keep checking like the calendar, like the So You Want to Watch Figure Skating calendar, being like, when's the next one? Just give me more of this. Gluttons for punishment, both of us. How are we doing this? Should we remind people of the new format?
Oh yeah, the new-ish format is that we are, rather than talking about like everyone we want to talk about on the main feed and then using the Patreon bonus feed for once a month goofs for the duration of the Grand Prix, we're going to talk about the podium placers, men and women, on the main episode, plus like very brief honorable mentions of everybody else, and then we're going to use the bonus episodes one per event, so that's more than once a month for those of you counting. And we're going to use those to talk about everybody else. So that's patreon.com/icedteapod if you're not already on that feed. I do want to also say, if I may continue to ramble for a second, I just want to give a shout out to anybody who's like recommending the podcast to people on Reddit, because every once in a while there'll be like a random Reddit thread of somebody being like, are there podcasts about figure skating? And then like friends of mine who are more active on Reddit will send me screenshots of like, look at all these people who like your show. They're not even like us pretending.
Hi Reddit. Hello Reddit. You terrify me. You terrify and amaze me, and thank you. Hello.
Yeah, we all know I'm afraid of feedback in general, so I just don't. And if something's nice, people will send it to me.
Yes, thank you. As long as we're doing housekeeping at the top of show, give us stars and reviews wherever. Like, we're seeing this in the Reddit threads have been proof of it. People are looking for a way in, you know, heading into the Olympics, heading into this season, which is gonna get more of a spotlight than previous years. People are looking for friends to talk at them about this, so like tell people, give us your ratings. It truly helps us out so much. And also get on Patreon because we're doing so much.
And my sister doesn't really understand what I do or why, but she sometimes goes on iTunes and sees that we have positive reviews and then tells me that it seems like a lot of people like it, so that's also a good reason.
Adorable. Let's talk about Skate Canada for real now. We're talking about podiums.
So we are going to start with women. The third place bronze medalist woman was Elena Kosternaya, or Alyona Kosternaya, depending on whether you're feeling saucy.
You know, know, do you ever feel saucy enough to, like, pronounce people's names sort of correctly? It feels weird, man. It feels weird that A, she is in third place, but B, that, like, given this podium, it kind of tracks.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to come in, like, out the gates with some some scalding hot takes.
No, not in our very own podcast.
I know. I had sort of, like, built myself up to say some things about Aliona. And then I didn't realize we were going to be talking about her first, so apologies to the pacing of this show. I have a confession to make, and yes, as per what we were talking about last week with skaters who you can intellectually recognize are, like, you understand why people would like them, but you just feel nothing when they skate. Yes. I have to confess that that is Aliona Kosternaya for me. I know that everybody loves her and worships at her altar and says she is, like, the second coming of, like, Evgenia Medvedeva and, like, all these amazing expressive, like, I would never in a million years put her up there with them. And, like, I'm so sorry if that makes me a terrible person. I think she's a lot better than the other girls who skate with her at Sambo under Atari. And if she were not in that group of comparison, I don't think I would put her higher than...
Do you think it was the axel? Like, do you think it was that she had the triple axel before we had those insane events where, like, seven people were attempting them and landing them?
I don't know, because all the other girls were doing quads then, too. And then, like, she had the axel. So it kind of set her apart, but it wasn't necessarily, like, she was the only one doing something crazy ridiculous.
I think the only reason I enjoy her more than other people in that, you know, collection of skaters, like, this style and this, like, school of skating is that I got to see her live at IDF 2 years ago now. And it's not even that. I think I spoke about this on the podcast back when it happened, but I saw her fucking around with a camera during, like, practice at IDF 2019. And it was just, like, such a little, like, glimpse into the then child. I mean, she's, like, pushing 19 now. She's a big grown teenager, but she was, like, tiny baby back then. And it was so funny. I just remember it so vividly. Her, like, walking over to one of those, like, big heavy cameras with, like, the little hood situations and, like, turning it a little. And I think someone scolded her and she just gave them the most, like, shit-eating grin. Just like, yup, I am the cameraman now. And it was so precious. And I enjoyed that. But that's also not skating.
Yeah, I think, here's what I'll say. I think that she has much better skating skills than the other the other skaters in her coaching team. I still look at her and I see, maybe this isn't a skating skills thing because we all know I'm not, like, a skater. But you know that thing where you can tell that they're, like, really fucking throwing their all of their, you know, tiny amount of weight around just to, like, make those turns and, like, do all those, like, just, like, tricky little footwork elements because they're not, like, getting the momentum just off of the blade.
Yeah.
That, like, she still kind of has that. She has that less than the others, but I still see it with her, that whole, like, and I think the arm flappy choreography doesn't help.
I think a lot of that is also about just, like, the style that they're taught.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see that. I just wouldn't put her higher than, like, I'm looking at some of the middle of the middle of the pack people at this competition, like Han Lee or Madeline Skizis or, like, Mana Kawabe. Like, if you take out who can do what crazy jumps, that's where I would put her, is, like, skaters who I actually really love to watch.
Yeah.
But I would never rank them among, like, Satoko Miyahara, Karen Chen.
Oh, for sure.
Like, the artists. And I hear people talk about her like that, and I don't understand. So that's just what I wanted to say and just get it out there.
I think that's fine and acceptable.
No, like, I like her enough that I would be really genuinely excited to see her, as opposed to the way I would feel with, I think, anybody else from Sambo 70, where I would feel, like, weirdly uncomfortable about it. I would be genuinely excited to see her, but again, just not, like, because I think it will be an earth-shattering experience. I don't know if I've ever had, like, an earth-shattering experience watching her skate anything.
Yeah, same. I think my only earth-shattering experience watching her skate was the supermassive black hole break of her Twilight program when I got to see it live. And I think that was just, like, the level of hype of when that happened. I am currently on her Wikipedia and I am reading, like, her personal life section, which, I mean, we know about, like, the stuffed toys and stuff, but she has, I'm going to read you a sentence. She also has a number of pets, including a rabbit gifted to her by her fans. And I just want to know who, like, walked over to her and was like, hi, would you like a massive responsibility of taking care of a living creature? Here's a bunny.
God, it was a different time, right? Like, now we can't even have plushies. Back then you could give, like, a living, breathing thing.
I don't know. I, like, as I've said before, I have a gecko and she is the light of my entire life. And she's so tiny and such a big responsibility. And I just can't imagine if you're, like, a teenager who's skating, like, 12 hours a day and lives with her family and has, like, several other pets. If a complete stranger walked over and was like, "Hi, I admire what you do. Here's a living creature."
I think it's always weird to gift a pet. It's like proposing to somebody without ever having talked about what, like, what you want out of life. Like, it's just some things you need to, like, really think about.
Yeah.
No offense if that's, like, how you got engaged or received a pet. But to me, it stresses me out to have anything foisted upon me.
I feel like if you've spoken about it at length, like, if you were like, "Oh my God, my biggest dream in life is to have, like, a poodle, and I'm completely ready, and I've done the research, and, like, I just want to, like, adopt the poodle of my dreams," and then, like, your friends, like, get you a poodle for your birthday, I think that's fine. But if you've never fucking spoken about it and people are like, "Surprise, here is a horse," I think that's weird.
Yeah, the only... I'm sorry, I just realized you said horse. Surprise, here's a horse. I have received once a surprise goldfish for my birthday. I was in, like, maybe 9th or 10th grade, and it was a good friend of mine. And I don't know, I don't think we had ever talked about fish, but it was a low commitment enough gift that I was like, yeah, sure. Like, this is fine.
When I was little, we used to, my, like, acting school and I used to be, we would do, like, sketches and stuff for this children's TV show. It was, like, a game show for kids. I don't fucking know. And I remember it being, like, booked to do something on an episode, and someone in one of the games, one of the rewards was you would win, like, a cockatoo or, like, some sort of, it was a bird of some sort. And I won it, and I really wanted to take it home. And then we went backstage to, the dressing room, and I was like, "Can I have this bird?" And obviously I couldn't. And it was a devastating moment of just, like, people on TV thought that I had a bird and I didn't. It was very sad. We're clearly not talking about figure skating, because
what I need you to understand is that I've been friends with Netta for, what, like, 6 years now? And, like, this is the kind of shit that is revealed 6 years down the road. Is like, I knew Netta was on television as a child. I didn't know there were, like, multiple television shows, and I did not realize there was, like, if there's a story that's like, I was on a television show as a child and I won a bird on TV, don't you think that would come out in the first few months, like, in the first couple of parties that you hang out with together? Like, I need you to understand that Netta is a person so interesting that this
is
6 year reveal.
No. Yeah, no, I did used to be on several shows. I was a principal cast member on a narrative, like, actual, like, TV show. But we used to,
I knew,
like,
that one.
Do gigs on other things for the National Bulgarian Televisions as well. This is a Patreon episode for after the Grand Prix. I'll tell you all about my child acting career in depth, because there is some spicy shit in there.
Wait, before we do that, I feel like we didn't talk about the weird New York situation.
Yeah, I don't I don't know how I feel about it.
It was so slow. Like, just use the fast one. I think her as an old Hollywood showgirl is fun as hell. It's correct. I don't want to hear her do the boring slow part. It's like, ugh. What version was that even?
Well, I'm looking at Wiki again, and it's apparently half of it was from Shame, which is the 2011 British psychological drama film set in New York. So that was performed by Carey Mulligan. And then it's like the Liza, like, New York, New York. I'm once again confused. Also, the consecutive sentences of performed by Liza Minnelli, choreo by the New York Liking House. It's the worst thing that I've ever laid my eyes upon.
Danielle with a Z. Gleichengaus with a Z. There it is.
Oh, God. I hate it here.
Okay, so what I will say about this is that I think it's really funny to give her a song that starts with "Start spreading the news, I'm leaving today," just considering everything that has happened. I think that it looks really empty, but it's like a new program. And I think I said this on Twitter, like, I was afraid to say it looks really empty, they should add to it, because Lord knows The monkey's paw is going to curl.
Yeah.
You ask Daniil to put more into a program, it's going to be like...
And it's just going to be arms up on every jump. It's just going to be arms up on every jump. That's what we're going
to
get.
If Daniil could find a way to keep all four limbs in the air the whole time, he would. And it would just be like a hovering situation.
It's the fucking hoverboard on ice.
Just flying around.
I feel insane. I already feel insane about this.
But I like it more. A lot of people were like, oh, what happened to the Beth Hart? No, man, fuck a Beth Hart. I'm sure Beth Hart is a wonderful human being. Every time someone sings to one of her songs, I just retreat into like a very protected place in my mind because I just fucking hate her music. I'm so sorry.
She really loves Bulgaria for some reason and she keeps having concerts here. Like, every once in a while, it's just gonna be like, Beth Hart has sold out, like, one of the big concert halls again. I don't know why it keeps happening, but she is constantly in Sofia for some reason.
That's so fucking random, because I didn't know who she was until we started listening to figure skating, and I really like women rockers and, like, female-fronted rock groups and stuff,
yes.
In general. So I think if I had encountered this music outside of this context, I would have really dug her, but I hate that she's become a dog whistle for, like, a girl who was like, I'm a grown-up now, I'm ready for something sexy. And then they put on like a weird like Halloween store lingerie situation. And it's always like you had that, you know, you always have that one friend who like, they're like, oh, you should come out of your shell by taking a pole dancing class. And it's like just I would never, I'm not saying this from a slut-shaming perspective. I'm saying this from a like, it's just uncomfortable sometimes perspective. And it's always Beth Hart.
It's always Beth Hart.
I mean, if she really loves Bulgaria, that's cool. And I respect her for that.
I mean, yeah, she's valid. Good for her.
I prefer Liza because Liza Minnelli, because she has the same birthday as me.
Speaking of Lizas, is that it?
Speaking of Lizas.
There you go. Very good transition into Elizaveta Sergeyevna Tukhtameshova, who did very much takes over, which feels good in 2021 to still see her. I'm searching for a word that's not dominate. And I can't find it.
It's because it's just correct.
Yeah.
She is skating to Oblivion, which is just a good old fucking warhorse. Sometimes you want to see that.
Honestly, I'm not mad at it.
No, me neither.
What I am mad about is her free skate and everything about it.
Everything about it. Just the... Every time I see the costume, it's worse. We had this whole conversation about it earlier, like a couple episodes ago. And then I saw it again and I realized that like the image I was holding in my mind had been so like rose-colored glasses
right?
just in order so that I could keep living.
I had the same experience of like, I'm usually very visual, but I watched the free skate at Skate Canada and I was like, this is worse than I remember.
Is it a different costume? Like,
I have not bothered to like compare and contrast because I don't want to look at it.
Yeah, that's extremely fair.
God, someone's gonna be like, they're so negative. I'm not negative. I adore her so deeply and I just wish she would stop betraying me like that.
I think we're actually like way more positive than everybody else, so I think we can occasionally be negative. I think it's fine. I think that I just will always love to see her, even if it's like it wearing that and doing the, I don't like the King Tut hands. I don't like the weird Middle Eastern arms. I hate that that's a thing. It's insulting and weird.
That's so much a thing. I think it was Jackie who was like, this is like the new, it's like the new thing that everyone's doing is like vaguely Middle Eastern quote unquote arms. That several people were doing, and it just, first of all, it has no basis in any actual like dance tradition of anywhere in the world, and secondly, why?
Do you think there's an argument to be made that because it has no basis in any dance tradition in the world, that it then goes over into like Maddie and Evan's snake dance territory, where it's like just kind of so blatantly not any one thing that it's like not terrible?
Yeah, but also Maddie and Evan's snake dance, it wasn't that it was like, oh, snake charmer, like Middle Eastern, like fairy tale bullshit. It's very much like trying to mirror like snake movement, and like the shapes of their hands were snake head like. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a stan and I'm trying to excuse one thing while criticizing another. I don't know.
You know who? Okay, I just had this epiphany. I think that Liza reminds me of our like old like 90-year-old theater teachers in grad school, like all the like, do you know what I mean? There's a specific type of like very old woman theater teacher who's like so rad and like so like, yes, I'm the life of the party, blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes they say something and you're like, oh, that's a little racist. But you know what? I know you're very old. Like, she has that energy at 25.
I mean, yes, I know what you mean.
She's like a Chris Fleming character.
It is a Chris Fleming character.
Like, he plays weird theater teachers very well. And I feel like the way they stand weird and just like.
Oh, God. I don't dream of being old a lot, but I cannot wait to transcend age and gender to the point where I get to be that old woman who used to be the life of the party like 60 years ago.
Yeah, but you know, and hopefully you'll be a little more woke. But listen,
I don't fucking know, man. They'll reinvent everything by then, and maybe everything that I'm doing now will be extremely bad. I hope not, but who's to say?
Yeah. I don't know. But what I will say about Liza is, do I love her vocabulary of movement? No. But do I also love it in a way? Yes. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, I think we've talked about it before, like, I think way, so way, way back in, like, her, like, You Don't Love Me days, like, couple seasons back. She moves like a person who knows they're not the best dancer, but in a hot way. Mm-hmm. And I respect that for her.
It's like when you are drinking coffee that's, like, really gross, but, like, you just are, like, you enjoy how gross it is, you know? Or, like, tea or liquor. Anything that's just not, like, delicious tasting, but you're, like, enjoying the fact that it tastes like burning rubber. That's kind of how I feel about her style.
Wow. I have nothing to add to this.
Yeah, sorry. That was a little out there. Maybe I am the old cookie theater lady.
Yeah. Congratulations. You've transcended age and gender.
There you go. I do. Okay. Somebody, I wonder if any of our listeners are like really knowledgeable about the intricacies of skating skills. Slash Netta, you might know this because you actually are like also very knowledgeable. Like, why does her triple axel look different than everyone else's? It's like she leans back and slows down and comes at it from like a different angle and a different like source of momentum than everyone else. And it looks like she should have less power, but she has more. I've heard some people say that's like bad technique, but I don't understand how it can be bad technique because she has like so much more consistency and power on it.
I can only speculate, so I'm not gonna, because I don't want to sound stupid on air.
Yeah, like, if you know, let us know. To me, it looks like she's, like, coming more from a place of, like, muscle and, like, propelling herself, as opposed to what I was saying before with the, like, I am trying so hard to throw every ounce of weight I have around. I don't want to, like, get into body stuff, because whatever. I just love her, and I'm happy that she's still winning.
Yeah, I enjoy her, and also, I don't know, I feel like her, like, presence at events is always good. Like, you always get a good selfie from like gala practice or something. Like, it feels like she is
showgirl and K-pop
like,
boy.
Yeah
Are we talking like, about showgirl and K-pop boy?
I'm talking about several of them. There was like a very nice one with like a bunch of like the girls. I just think she's the kind of, and I might be like fanfictionalizing the way I see her as a presence, but I feel like she doesn't really play into like the dynamics of like, oh, we're gonna be like rivals or like whatever. And it feels like she's everyone's friend at events, which is very refreshing and like fun. It's always like, oh, Liza was there and she has pictures with everyone, and it seems like everyone had fun in her presence, which honestly, aspirational.
Okay. Yes, 100%. That's what we love about her. It seems like even like when they were doing like Stars on Ice and doing all those like vlogs and things, like she and Stefan seemed to be getting along so well, even though she like infamously butchered his choreo so badly once that he disowned it. Like that's the mark of a likable person. Now I want to just quickly jump in and redact what I said before. With Showgirl and K-pop boy Instagram post was posted by Alyona. And the showgirl is Liza and the K-pop boy is Semyonko, I believe.
Showgirl and K-pop boy. It sounds like a weird anime or something.
It does. It does sound like a K-drama. I would watch it. I would very much watch it.
I continue to be intimidated by K-pop. Let's talk about the gold medalist of 2021 Skate Canada International in the women's singles event, Miss Camila Valieva.
Let's talk about her. I don't hate her as much as some people hate her.
I don't hate
her at all.
I don't. I have no hate in my heart about any of those children. But
yeah,
I don't know what to say. Like, completely honestly, I'm like, how do we talk about her as an athlete in a respectful way where we actually honor her skills and what she does do, while pretending we do not see the bullshit aspects of it, you know?
Yeah, the only way that I am able to have anything to think or say about her is I just think she's relatable solely in that, like, who among us is not dealing with just being afraid all the time and trying to hide it and not always succeeding and just having, like, a shitty boss?
Yeah.
I say that I'm my own boss and I say this, so it's... That's relatable.
Wait, can we talk about, and once again, I am not looking at the, like, list of judges, so I don't know who judge three was. Whoever gave her a solid 10 for composition, and honestly, that's not her, that's on Daniil's.
Are you fucking kidding me?
A 10.00. Everyone else is like, yeah, 9, 9.25, like 9.75, even then. Like, that's fine. That's acceptable with this level of competition. Someone watched her free skate, which, you know, she had the quads out, like, whatever it was, and the quad toe. It was fine. It was fun. It was what we've come to expect. But this person, judge number three, watched it and was like, this is impeccable choreography. There is nothing that could be improved upon. This is it. This is it. Fucking phone it in, everyone. This is, we're done. Goodbye.
I mean, it's not even the best bolero this season.
Yeah, it's not. And we all know.
Oh, you know what I wanted to say about the bolero? You know what I wanted to say about the bolero? And I'm so sorry if this is a weird thing to say. I don't like the costume because I think it's vulgar and, like, not in a fun, cheeky, campy way. I think it looks like she took her hands and dipped them in ketchup and then grabbed her own boobs. That's what it looks like to me. And I hate saying that about somebody so young, but that's also why I dislike it, because I think that having the only color be just straight up on the boobs is a weird choice for somebody very young.
Yeah. It just telegraphs bra in a way that, I don't know, it's not an age thing. It's not, I just think it wouldn't read well on anyone. Like, as someone that's who's true. Done burlesque and is involved in, like, a local drag scene and is used to people in red and black mesh doing things, this is weird.
Yeah, I hope I don't sound like such a prude on this episode. My God, I'm, like, really not. I think it looks like a fancy version of those t-shirts you get at the beach that are, like, a bikini, but it's, like, on the t-shirt. You know what I mean? It's, like, there's no gradient or blending. It's just, like, bam, boobs and hands.
But can we talk about the snake, though? Because that's the worst part of it.
So the snake, the thing about the snake is that I think I speak for all of us when I say that we were all relieved and hopeful that the snake was finally eradicated. Maybe with COVID, it just kind of died out because it had been plaguing Kehlani Crane. It had been plaguing several other skaters in the past. And then we didn't see it for a while. And I thought, okay, maybe it just couldn't get inside any of the bubbles. The snake is back.
The snake is back. And this time she's green and sequined and actually like a snake. Like, I mean, Kailani's, she very much also had a back snake. I'm trying to get a closer look at this one. And I swear to God, it has like a face and everything. It's like very much like an applique of just like an actual full-blown. Yep, it has like a little sequin. It's not sequins, it's fucking Swarovski. It has like a little tongue and everything. It's just full-blown snake on her shoulder. Do you know how much money it costs to get all of those green Swarovski stones?
She's an expensive snake, which is actually sort of a great vibe.
I mean, yeah, for like a costume party.
I kind of love it. It kind of reminds me of like, you remember in the 90s when you would like go to summer camp or go to someone's house and like you would make those keychains out of strings and beads that were like in the shape of flat animals?
Yeah,
like that's what that is.
Yeah, but it's an Olympic season and she's very much like one of the people we're maybe seeing as like a clear prediction for not only the podium but maybe gold. And I don't know if 90 sleepover is the vibe I want to bring to the Olympics.
What if she then, for her gala, did, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley sleuth detective song? Who stole the Great Hope Diamond? Who killed the dinosaurs? What is... I don't know the rest.
What if she does a Simple Plan gala and she's dressed as Mary-Kate and Ashley, both of them? It's a reveal from one to the other from New York Minute, which is my favorite Mary-Kate and Ashley film. In case anyone's wondering.
It's a twin reveal when you yourself are neither of the twins.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it would be amazing if she's like dressed as like the preppy one, and then she does one of them spin like dress reveals, and she becomes the other one who's like punk or whatever. I think that would be.
I think you should do that.
Please don't make me make another transition dress. I can't. I don't have it in me.
One day. Okay. I personally really don't like the whole thing of them being so transparently coached and raised to be like the next generation of the previous Olympic cycle people, or like previous half Olympic cycle, because it's like diminishing returns at this point where like every year it's a whole new group of people. I can so clearly see the direct line from like Alina Zagitova to her in terms of like the brand.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, I mean, if this was a sorority, like, she would be her little sister.
Oh, yeah, you're so right, and I hate it. I mean, we've talked about it so many times. It just makes me so uncomfortable how, like, you said it. It's so transparent. It feels gross to know how replaceable all of them are. And I'm not under any illusion that, like, any one athlete is. Like, there is not one single athlete that would retire or not have ever skated or anything that is like, pack it in, folks. The sport is done. We're never doing it again. I don't think there's any one athlete who is that vital for, and I don't mean just in figure skating, like in any sport. I don't think it's like defined by one person. But to be just so clear that like, none of those people actually matter, and it just happens that they were skilled enough and took well enough to coaching that they are now what we're seeing. It's weird. It's like dystopia weird.
Very weird. And I think, like, hello, welcome, we're theater people. It feels like they had like the, you know, the Broadway cast and then like the second Broadway cast and then like this and then that. And then now we're on like the 14th tour production understudy, end of the road swing cast.
Yeah, except no, because my toxic trait is that I deeply, 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 deeply enjoy getting to see like a swing in a part or like an understudy in a part, because that's when they fucking show up and they perform. I think what we're seeing here is someone who won like a Jimmy Award and went to LaGuardia High School and like knows that they're gonna be the next fucking principal in cabaret, like dancer number two. We're not getting swing energy. We're not getting like, I've worked my ass off for this and I've earned this by performing as the seventh woman in the chorus in fucking Nashville, Tennessee. We're getting, I was 2 years old when I knew I was going to do this energy.
That's actually so true. And
It's the opposite of swing energy.
You're right. It is. I'm glad you called me out on that because it's true. I think that you're right. Like the whole understudy swing thing is like, they really do. I actually also really love seeing them too. But I think I just meant in terms of like, being like very far removed generation of cast wise from like the original idea. It's like the eighth generation of clones, to go back to my horrible evil genius cloning from the last thing. But no, you're right. And I think
I think we're just seeing someone who is a fucking Roxy in Chicago in 2021, and no one really gives a shit because it's 2021, but god damn it, she was 10 years old when she decided that she was gonna be Roxy, and now she's Roxy and she's in a playbill and she's winning.
Right, and you're getting that role not because you're actually like incredibly unique and remarkable, but actually because you're like incredibly ununique and unremarkable and really, really good at doing the same thing everyone else has done, and also like your parents were the right people.
Yep, correct.
Exactly. I sound so bitter, but like whatever, it's fine.
No, this is a reality of like commercial theater, and also very much a reality of figure skating that we're seeing
commercial
right now
sport,
in this particular camp and in this Olympic cycle, to a level which makes me uncomfortable, and all we can do is talk about it.
It's true. And I'm okay leaving it there because we're going to talk about her and all of her friends a million times. That was mean to call them her friends. That's dismissive. Her teammates, they all work very hard. I mean, nobody can say they don't work hard. My God.
Also, I hope you're friends.
I hope they're friends too.
I wish everyone would be friends. Anyway, let's talk about men, because Jesus Christ, men happened.
They did. Before we move on to men, we should just quickly mention that there were like, what, 7 or 8 triple axels landed at this fucking like short program alone.
There were so many triple axels to the point where, okay, here's my controversial triple axel opinion. I think the triples were exciting in like a novelty, like, oh my God, people are doing them now, way like 2 or 3 seasons back when it was like, oh, she became one of the first 10 women internationally, and like she became one of the first like 15 women. And I was just kind of like, it's clearly not unachievable. People have them and do them with a level of consistency. And sometimes that means nothing. It doesn't guarantee you a podium space or any recognition. And I think when we're like inching close to like 20 women internationally, is it that special? I mean, I'm not saying it's not, because it's like the hardest thing any of them do, and it's harder than quads, and we all know that. But I think it's lost the like spice of like, oh my God, she's the only person here who can do this. And now it's like 70% of them can do it. It's a part of it. And you can be Wakaba Higuchi and do it better than everyone else and still fucking end up in 6th.
That's true. And we are, first of all, I always find it really funny when any achievement comes to that cusp of like it not actually being impressive to add it to your name as like the 107th person who did this anymore. like that is always just peak comedy to me. Secondly, it was an anomaly that there were that many in this pool. Like it was just a random thing. But we are in this weird era of women's skiing that I kind of didn't anticipate, because we always talk about like before when no one had triple axels or quads. And then we talk about this event horizon where it's going to become like men's skating, where you have to have a triple axel and at least one quad unless you're Jason Brown kind of thing. we are in this like taint right now in the middle where you kind of have to have these things, but no one is really super consistent with them. And also the point system, which was already very broken, was never equipped to handle this. And so artistry and tech are both like converging and splitting apart in like completely irreconcilable ways, to the point where like it matters even less.
Yeah, all of that. And also like the whole thing of like people using PCS to reward jumps and or attempts thereof. Yeah, I think the IJS just was not prepared for a field like this. And again, this was a weird field, so this will not be a conversation at every single event. But I don't think the judging system as it stands now, even if we like, you know, forget the politics of it and like everything else, even if it's just plainly about numbers, I don't think the numbers were designed in a way to reflect the possibility of like everyone shows up and either lands or attempts a mostly successful triple axel. What do we do then? I think this is gonna be different in a couple of years, hopefully, maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised if the judging system gets some kind of change after the Olympics. It's probably not gonna be as much as we want it to be, but if if last cycle was any indication.
Yeah.
Now, one last thing I want to say about this podium, specifically Camila, is that I know this is not really a hot take. This is one of those takes that everyone likes to say is hot, but everyone agrees on. It's too much if you raise your arms on every jump. It's too much. Just pick and choose. It's not special if you do it every time.
I think it should be once per program, if that. I think it's one of those things like the the cantilevers, and like if you can hydroblade or if you have a weird spiral or something like that. I think it's only special if it's not the only way you do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if it's the only way you do it, then it becomes a matter of like, do you even remember the other way? This is no longer impressive.
Well, and like, so I'm speaking as a singer, right? But like, to me, it's reminiscent of like, if you do the national anthem, but like you embellish it to the point where like you never at any point sing. It's like a chip of Theseus. Like, is it this song? I mean, like, yes, it is to me, because I don't want to get into a philosophical argument about like adaptation, but I would say, yes, it's still the same song, but it's not super pleasant to listen to an interpretation like that, because it's like I'm sorry, like I have a degree in music, and I'm sorry I can't find a a cuter way of saying it. It's like you're like shooting your wad too early and then never building anywhere. Like, yeah. Save your special moments. It doesn't matter what kind of art, doesn't matter what kind of art or artistic sport, save your special moments and like let them be features.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm less of a singer than you are, but like I've taken many, many, many singing exams in my lifetime. And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a like false equivalency here, because if you're singing the national anthem and embellishing it, you're probably not doing it for an exam, I will say. Like, if I show up to my, like, musical theater in context, fucking, like, acting through song exam, and I sing Gimme Gimme from Thoroughly Modern Millie, but every single note is different, and they fail me, and I show up and be like, oh my god, but I was doing an interpretation, I don't think anyone's gonna care. So I feel like when you're given a piece of sheet music that you have to follow for this particular assignment, I think in that case it's fine to not like take every single artistic liberty.
No, exactly.
Boys,
yeah. If you want to hear us talk about all the other amazing skaters who were at this event in the women's genre
in the genre of women
category is women, check us out at patreon.com/icedteapod.
I just think that women, anyway, the women were fantastic and the men were chaos.
Okay, so in third place with the bronze was Evgeny Stanislavovich Semenenko.
Beautiful. Yes, that is his name. The Wild Party is such a fantastic deep cut.
Weird deep cut, yeah.
It's the Lipo one. It's as a person who knows a lot of musical theater and lives and breathes musical theater and has done so for like 15 years now, I would, if you forced me to like list 20 musicals off the top of my head, I would not come anywhere near The Wild Party.
Can I make a confession? I did a group project, and I'm going to say the word did in like the like biggest possible quotes in college. In one of my musical theater history lectures, with a bunch of strangers who, by the way, are like, you know, you have people in your phone for some reason that never go away. And like,
yes.
I think if you were to ever be like, who would be the worst ones to contact? It would be those people that I did this project with. It was on The Wild Party, and I participated so little that I actually don't know which one to this day that we were doing. Whether we were doing the Lipa version or the Lachuza version.
Oh my god.
I think I maybe knew at the time. Like, in my defense, I maybe knew at the time.
I mean, they're also, like, infamously very, very similar. Anyway, this is not a Wild Party podcast, because there is 5 people in the world who care about either one of the Wild Parties. How did this Russian teenager's team arrive at the Wild Party? Because like his free skate is the Master and Margarita, which is the most Russian you could possibly get.
Yeah, I looked that up, and it's like a comedy about Satan or something, right?
It's a book that was, it's a book by Bulgakov, which was then adapted into a TV show, and I think like a film, and there is a play. There is just many versions of The Master and Margarita, and it's like so deeply, deeply, deeply Russian. And I'm not saying that like if you're Russian you should only do Russian things, but I am saying if you're a Russian teenager, how did you arrive at the Wild Party?
I actually like genuinely really want to know the story there. Like, I want to watch a documentary about this.
I'm very curious, because the way I would imagine it happened was like they looked up a Spotify playlist of like songs by tenors, like contemporary musical theater, like the Singer's Musical Theater Anthology Volume 17.
We are so much more theatery and musicy today than even we usually are, so welcome if you're new. It's not always quite like this, but it's to a certain degree.
But when a Russian teenager does the Wild Party, the Lipa version, in 2021, and wins a medal with it, I have questions.
I like it. I'm never in a million years going to criticize a deep cut of musical theater, because it could have been fucking like La La Land, you know?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm fascinated by it. I'm like, unironically, like, how did you...
Yeah.
What happened?
It's always, we're making a lot of assumptions here that like, from kind of a point of view of like, oh, well, surely no one besides like musical theater people know these random things. But like, assuming for a second, in kind of like a snobby way, that no one, him or anybody else in his team, is like a real diehard musical theater person. Like, yeah, how does that come across your Spotify recommend?
First of all, I have no idea. And second of all, I would like to say that I do have my credentials as a former Slavic teenager to be wondering about this. Because before I was a person with like a musical theater education, I was a Slavic teenager.
Before you were a person, you were a Slavic teenager.
Yes. It's very confusing to me. I mean, I'm into it. I'm talking about it so much because I'm like fascinated in a weird way by it. But what?
I have to say that when Semyonko showed up at Worlds last year, I was like, whoomst. And then just seeing him a few more times since then, I'm like, oh, yeah. And always like, he's not, you know, one of the top build like Dimitris or Mikhail's or Sasha's or whatever, where I'm like, it's funny because it sounds like I was just like making up Russian names, but I actually had specific people in mind. It's like the Tom, Dick and Harry. but this is the first time that I was ever watching him like, yes, you know what? I recognize him. Yes. I have seen him before. I will see him again. He has a style and I very much enjoy watching him. And he's going to, yeah. I just got this feeling like, yes, he is here to stay. He is good.
Yeah, I'm a fan of what he does. And I think both his fascinating short program and his free are pretty cool. He's grown so much, I feel like, since we first started seeing him around as well, which is always exciting.
I was just going to point out that he was fifth in the short, so he had a really good free and nice comeback. And also, you know, there had to be a we'll talk in, I guess, probably more at length in the after show about with Keegan having a really disastrous free skate. That also didn't hurt Semenyenko's chances of getting on that podium either.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about, well, men's figure skating in particular, is that sometimes things can happen in the short program and it means nothing when it comes to the free. Because there are so many men who will just take insane risks or have a very bad time or have a very, very good time in the free. And after the short, I was like, well, this is a lineup. And tomorrow might be something completely different. And I was right.
Yeah. And I think that the main reason for that is that all the technical elements are allowed in both the short and the free.
Yeah.
And with the women, you can only, I think you can only do the triple axel if it's in combo, but you can't do it as your axel. And also you can't do any quads.
Yep.
And so it's starting to get to the point where, like, I think on paper, that means that the short is supposed to be where you're judged on, like, other things. And in practice, it's starting to be, like, the short just doesn't count because it's worth fewer points and it is completely lost and won in the free. You very rarely see a situation where anything is really impacted by what happened in the short unless somebody who is a favorite to win comes in, like, dead-ass last and misses all of their jumps. That's kind of the only way that the short can actually have an impact on the final standings with the women. The men, anything goes.
The thing Another about musical. The short, a beautiful musical, one of my favorites, actually. The thing about the short with both men and women, but especially men, because, again, everything's allowed elements-wise, is that there's so much less, like, margin of error. You know what I mean? Because, like, if you miss your combo, and you, like, let's say your combo was slated to be your last jumping pass and it doesn't happen, you do not have the room to, like, try and make it up. Whereas in the free skate, you could, like, have a disastrous opening jumping pass and then be like, okay, I'm gonna make up for this and, like, do some weird, like, Hail Mary shit. And, like, if you're quick enough, and literally all of them are, if you're quick enough, you can think about it on your feet and catch up and fix mistakes that you made like a minute ago, which you don't get the chance to do in the short program. And I think that's where a lot of the movement comes from as well, is how well you react to the shenanigans that happen on accursed ice.
Yeah. In second place, do you want to say it? I know you do.
I do. In second, winner of the silver medal with 2021 Skate Canada International is the most amazing person to ever live, Jason Brown. And I get to say that because there is no one on earth who would argue with me. He was so good. He's always so good. He's never done anything wrong in his entire life.
No, he has not.
Don't fucking at me. Even when he has a wobbly day, it's still so good.
You know what I love? I love that one part of Sinner Man, because it went viral because I think like Jackie Wong tweeted it, but it's like that little clip of him, like he does like the crazy skid spiral that's like totally vertical. And then he like does this move where he kind of goes up on his toes and just waves his arms. And it's just like every time I think like, I'm a sexy spider. Like that's what it looks like. And it just like, I laugh so hard every time. I love it. It's his face. Like, you know, he's thinking it.
He is thinking I'm a sexy spider. Confirm, don't question it. He has spoken about it in his Sexy Spider. Do not fucking fact check us. I do want to talk about that impeccable piece of choreography because A, it's amazing and mind-blowing. And I tweeted it on my private Twitter and I was like, even if you don't know figure skating, you have to understand that this is transcendent. No one else can do this.
Did he get a 10 for composition or is it not quite Bolero level?
It's not quite Bolero level. Let's look at his short program skating skills. 9, 9.25, 9.25, 9.25, 8.75. Judge 5 was on fucking drugs. 9.5, 9.25, 9.5, 8.75. I just want to know, do the judges have eyes?
Maybe they're afraid of spiders.
Maybe they are afraid of spiders. I know, I understand that being a judge and being a skater are different professions and they require different skills and different understanding of the same thing that's happening. I would love for like fucking Jackson to sponsor this panel, give them a pair of boots each and let them fucking do it.
Yeah.
If Jason Brown is getting an 8.75 in skating skills, what the fuck hope is there for the rest of us? And by the rest of us, I mean the rest of this field, not myself. I'm so baffled. He did get 110 for interpretation of music and 110 for composition. So I guess it is Bolero level. Don't worry about it.
I went on Wikipedia because I know just from having done my own insane research that they just have a little section where they kind of outline what each component under the PCS umbrella is. And mm-hmm. It says skating skills. This mark assesses the skater's command of the blade over the ice. So one thing I would love to know is like, have they seen other people do a skid spiral? Because it doesn't look like that. It looks like an actual like skid on an icy road, we might die situation, put on the four-wheel drive, holy shit.
Yeah, it's just the absolute inevitability of that move. It's like when he launches into it, it's just the only way he can go from there is into that weird, and we're completely foregoing the fact that he goes from a Russian split into the skid spiral, into the pivot, into the sexy spider move arm thing.
It's the Russian split, also known as the actual platonic ideal of all four limbs off the ground.
Yes, actually, yes. I'm watching it. I'm watching like Jackie's little clip on repeat as we speak. And if this is something that you give an 8 point something in skating skills to, I just, you know how I said there is no one skater who can like put the end to the sport? I feel like if this is getting an 8 something in skating skills, I think we're done here. I think we're beyond saving and we should just pack it up and go.
The only thing I can think of is that that person must think that the actual be all and end all of skating skills is the ability to do a quad.
But they have a handbook. Like, they know what they're...
They didn't do the assignment. Just like, much like me when I was assigned to the wild party, they didn't do the assignment.
Oh, God. I'm overjoyed that he won. It makes me so happy. And I think it's
You just
great.
Said he won. Are you aware? Are you aware that it's he over. Won in your heart?
No, I mean, I'm... In this, honestly, with this field, I wasn't sure he was going to podium. Like, anything could have happened. He was third in the free. Anything could have happened. We talked about the movement. We didn't know the quad situation, which didn't work out, and that's fine. Well, we'll see.
He did keep it on its feet, though. Like, It's not, yeah. Was it downgraded? Yeah, but like he didn't fall.
Yeah, it's getting there and it's fine and he doesn't need it. Point being, I'm happy about the way things turned out. I'm happy that he got a medal. This is good. But also, fucking insane to give him an 8.75 at skating skills.
I know. It was so funny. Like, I'm now starting to see the life cycle of the opinion of the internet is actually so fascinating to me. That I think that the take of like Jason Brown is underscored on PCS is now so ubiquitous and agreed upon that I'm starting to see like clapback against that, which is like some discourse on the webs that's like, just shut up about it. Like, it's not going to matter. It doesn't really make that much of a difference in terms of like who wins and who loses. To which I say, I would love to complain about whatever I would love to complain about and no one can stop me.
First of all, yeah. Second of all, I will continue like push it into the nines, like push it up to like have his lowest skating skill score be like a 9.25 and then I'll fucking stop complaining.
And it bothers me only, I know that If you've been a longtime listener with us for a very long time, I know that this is a little bit contrary to some stuff that I was saying in our earlier episodes, particularly about Yuzuru Hanyu, where I would get mad at his fans for like constantly complaining that he was underscored when he would already won by like 20 points. So that annoys me when he didn't. It's like they didn't win by enough. But first of all, he didn't win at all. He came in second. And whether it would have made a difference or not, I still think it's fair game. It wouldn't have, but I think as long as they didn't win, it's not like super poor form because it's not like gloating. And then the second thing I want to say about that is that Jason's a little bit of a special case, in my opinion, because he's the only one who's doing what he's doing, which is going out every single time being like, first of all, I don't have quads. Second of all, no one can do what I can do. Third of all, I'm gay. Fourth of all, I'm new in town. Yeah, what are five other things about him? I just think that when there's a skater who's that unique in so many ways and that are weirdly controversial, that I don't know, it's just like hard to not take that as a commentary on that.
Yeah, I'm so happy for him and I hope that this trajectory continues because it is honestly what he fucking deserves. Regardless of how like Olympic selections shake out and like all of that bullshit, I think this season has been a long time coming and I'm so happy that we're seeing it.
Absolutely. For all the things that we wish we could see in figure skating that we don't get to see, this is one of the things that we wished for that we are seeing.
Yes.
And so, you know, like knock on wood, I'm just grateful.
Yes, correct.
Speaking of trajectories.
Speaking of trajectories, the boy broke his curse.
It was a short-lived curse. If this was the sports anime that we started to think it was, I would think, what are the writers doing? They just introduced this plot line and now they're axing it? Like, stretch it out.
I feel like they knew that there were spicier plot lines coming.
It was sweeps week. They just wanted to, like, get all the ratings.
Yeah, yeah. No, the thing is, I said this last week and I'll remind everyone. First of all, am a Nathan Chen stan. Fucking at me. Secondly, the boy skates his best when he has shit to prove. Mm-hmm. And I feel like last week, or like for Skate Canada last week, was bit of a wake-up call, bit of a fire under the butt situation, bit of a, oh shit, do my quads still love me situation. And it turns out that they do, and it turns out that he is fine, which was a delight to witness.
You know, I can really relate to that because prior to the Animal Crossing update, I had so much money in that game that I was like, what's the point anymore? I can afford everything I want. I'm not getting anything out of this. But then the update came and then you had to redeem all of your bells and your Nook Miles for like all this new shit. And now all of a sudden I'm like, I actually have to go like catch a fish and sell it now. I feel alive. I think that it's like that.
One of the reasons I stopped playing Animal Crossing was because I felt bad about all the wealth I was hoarding. This is not a bit. I genuinely, it was like, the number was like a 7 or 8 digit number and yeah. I felt uncomfortable with it and there was nothing I could do about it because there's only so many tiny, beautiful trench coats you can purchase. And then you're just contributing to the fast fashion industry and
it was bad.
Yeah, it's like you spend the whole time being like, fuck you, Tom Nook, I'm gonna get your ass, and then you become him.
Yeah, you either die a hero or you live long enough to fucking hoard your...
To become Tom
Nook. Your boss. To become Tom Nook.
I will say in the new update, there is the hippie socialist dog who starts a co-op, and I'm really hopeful that he's going to overthrow the government of the island.
I will have to pick up my Switch and make that happen because I just have so much fake money. I mean, all money is in a way fake, but that money is particularly fake. Anyway, Nathan Chen is good at skating.
He won and probably won real money. That's the segue back in. This podcast is a really great insight into if you've ever wondered what it's like to have ADD, because I feel like we're really just taking you along. You know, he watered down the tech content, which for him is like still incredibly hard.
I love when your watered down tech content is 1, 2, 3, 4 quads. 4 quads in the free. Just 4. 2 of them in combos. 3 of them in combos. Just casual. Don't worry about it. 2 of his spins were level 3s, though, so, ooh. I don't know, I'm just looking at this protocol, and I'm like, yeah, this was, it's one of those situations that we talk about with, like, him and, like, Yuzu whenever we get to see him, where it's, like, something that is, like, not his greatest day, and we're like, oh, yeah, this was watered down, and, like, we know he can do better. It's something that, like, if anyone else did this, we would be like, holy shit, are you seeing this?
Yeah. It's true. And he said afterwards that he's been dealing with a little bit of a hip issue.
Yeah.
I think that was actually after Skate America, right?
I'm not sure, but it's ongoing.
Again, time is confusing to me, but he did mention that he had a bit of a hip issue. And I remember saying, I remember saying this, that one of the things that, in my opinion, has really contributed to Nathan's incredible career that isn't really talked about that much is that he's never had a major injury. And like, knock on wood, I hope that this is not a major injury and I hope that this isn't it. But just in terms of like his ability
except to
just be there.
Except for that fucking terrifying gala a couple years back.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, totally. I guess I'm referring specifically to like the current golden age of Nathan
Chen.
Yes. And how everyone else that is considered like a major rival of his is occasionally taken out by a recurring injury, and he like hasn't had that yet, and hopefully he doesn't, but it's just a reality of the sport.
Megan with the fucking metal pipe in the corner, like, he hasn't had that yet.
I'm Megan. No, I would never. I love him, but not that I'm a violent person anyway. I would never do that to anyone. But
that sounds like something a violent person would do so as not to express intent on a recorded podcast, but okay.
All right. Well, listen, if I get arrested, you're going to have to do all the editing, like start to finish. So
it's going to be a real shitty podcast. It's just going to be me by myself spiraling, poorly edited.
I still don't love the free skate music, and like, that's fine. I don't hate it. Like, I know people who are like, ugh, I hate it.
It's fine. I think it's been like too little. I think it's not been enough time between Skate America and Skate Canada for my opinions to like drastically change. Like, I'm happy about his upward trajectory, and I'm happy that he's reclaimed, you know, his status after the horrible failure of winning bronze. I continue to be curious and not entirely sold, but it's literally been like 2 weeks. So I haven't had like any new insight into how and why this is his season this season.
Well, I know he said he started with like the remix breakdown, and then they worked backwards from there constructing the track. And it's just like,
I respect hearing like a techno like beat drop and being like, okay, now get me some classical music.
Yeah, unremix this. You know, we spend a lot of time like sort of deifying whoever is really at the top of their game. And especially with Nathan, considering how well he's done consistently, we forget, I think, that he is very much like a college age dude. And he thinks that the peak of coolness and like, yeah, this is badass, is like if you take Mozart and then put like a boom, boom, boom under it. And like, that's
okay, but he's correct, though.
I'm sorry. I find that endearing.
Outside the context of this free skate, he is correct, though. Like, honestly, though, if you were in the club and this happened, tell me you wouldn't fucking pop off.
No, I would. Of course exactly. I would. Exactly. And I think people want to use Nathan's, like, dude bro persona against him in ways that we've sort of discussed recently in terms of, like, oh, he's just, like, a mean, cocky jock. But, like,
he's a raging homophobe who hates women and likes beat drops.
Yeah, I think of just, like, really nice, harmless bros that I have known. That's going to be the title of my memoir.
All the nice, harmless himbos I've loved before.
Yeah, like, it's like, you know, sometimes people are really smart, but then also they have, like, himbo tendencies and they think, like, dumb music is really cool. Like, I just find that endearing. I think that he's just, like, a kid doing his best.
Yes.
That's honestly kind of all I have to say about him. I think he's still finding the programs. I'm not absolutely wowed by either of them. But as you said, with Nathan, it's never a matter of, like, a bad day for him being catastrophic. I mean, it sort of was at Skate America, but in this case, it was like a quote-unquote bad day where it was just like a B+. But it's graded on
a
curve.
Also, it was like this time it was like a conscious choice of like, this is what I need to be doing. I think this is it. I think this is all I have to say at this point. I'm excited. I'm not sure when is the next time we get to see him.
The Grand Prix final. We were having this conversation earlier. Yeah. It's statistically impossible for him not to go, even though he didn't like get.
He had a catastrophic bronze.
Yeah, it's statistically impossible for enough people to do better than a gold and a bronze at this point for him to get knocked out. But I know we're not doing a ton of honorable mentions. Keiji Shinaka was there, and I know that people want to hear me talk about it. He didn't do great, and
Patreon.
That's okay.
Go to Patreon for the full Megan Unpacked Keiji Tanaka wearing just a shit ton of brown coverage.
It was in honor of me and Vincent Joe and our alma mater. And Pooja Kalyan.
Oh, God.
So that's where we're at. That was Skate Canada. It felt like a weird dream. It felt like, to me, this is just a me thing, but even though it was in a normal time zone for me, relatively speaking, it felt like one of those ones that you have to get up at 3 a.m. for, just vibe-wise.
Vibe-wise, same, even though it was not at, like, impossible times. It was, like, late nights and, like, very early mornings. It felt just disconnected from time. It felt like it was a bizarre fucking event, and next week we're in Italy, which we haven't done in a hot second, so that's gonna be fun.
Yeah. In terms of our little segments, Plushy Corner didn't happen because Canada is like, seems to me, from where I'm sitting, to be one of the only countries who's actually like doing a good job with like all the like being strict and hard ass about the protocols.
Which we have to talk about on Patreon because Rav got fucking kicked out of the arena for being an old man who can't read signs.
Oh, Rav. classic Rav. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But what I will say is that Social Media Corner has given us the news that Alyssa Liu is working on getting a driver's license, and that is a beautiful thing.
I mean, it's amazing to get a sponsorship from a thing that you can't even use yet. Honestly, aspirational, Team Toyota. Although, like, my sewing machine is a Toyota, so maybe they can do that instead?
Yeah, that's true. And then you don't need a license to... So,
although honestly, given the past couple of weeks that I've had, we should be getting sewing licenses. Sewing is very hard. Have other things been happening on social media?
Oh, Vincent went to the Vincent Museum,
which honestly, kind of cute.
Yeah, he knows his brand. So anyway, that's our show. That was Skate Canada. Next week, we're going to Italy to
I'm so excited to go to
Lupa
Italy.
Lupa
da Toe. I am thrilled to be going to Italy. If Eurovision and the Euro Championship in football has taught me anything, it is that Italy means winning, and I'm excited to see what that means for skaters next week. So very hyped to talk about it. Also, we're getting like a less predictable, like, I mean, not that this field has been predictable, but like with the field in Italy, I have no idea what's going to happen with men or women, and that's
yeah, we don't get that very often. So stay tuned. And if you, for the 900th time, want to hear us talk about everyone else who was there, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/icetpod. Netta, where can the good people find you on the internet?
People can find me at Netta Marie. That's Neda. And then just Marie on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to see me skate, I'm at N_ice skating on Insta. Megan, where are you on
line.
I'm at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter. And we together are at Iced Tea Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Also, we want to shout out our amazing patrons who already exist. Kieran, Mary, Jana, Yana, tell us how to say your name. I want to get it right. Barbara, another Barbara, Sunny, Aaron, Sally, Samira, Joe, KM. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Thank you so much. You're fucking amazing. Thanks. I have one more special shout out before we go. Xenia, who made my fucking life when she DM'd me to let me know that she heeded our advice and changed Sasha Trusova's picture on her Wikipedia. She DM'd me an amazing explanation about how pictures for Wikipedia pages are chosen and who gets to change them. And she was like, I listen to you and I pick a better picture out of the ones that are available. So thank you, Xenia. It blew my mind. It was amazing.
Yeah, the bots that listen to us and inflate our numbers on our host are getting remarkably sentient.
Our beautiful listeners are not bots. You are not a bot. If you're listening to this, you are not a bot. You're a human being. And we love you very much. And we thank you for listening.
All right. Bye, everyone. See you in Italy.
Ciao.